Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man, do we have a great show for you. I am so fired up. Alec Ogletree, not Oglethorpe, Ogletree will join us upcoming in 15 minutes. We'll talk about the New York Giants as they continue to compete. I want to ask him, he's seen the film. His teammate Odell Beckham Jr. chose the business decision on an onside kick that could have cost them a game. That upcoming in 15 minutes. We're going to talk some Kyler Murray on why everybody just assumes that one sport is better than another for Kyler Murray. And that assumption, you know what happens when you assume? Rick Bucher is going to join us. He had the interview with Kevin Durant and other quotes from other players. It was so good and made its way around the league so much that even LeBron James asked about the context of the question and the full answer from KD. We'll get it from Rick Bucher. RJ Bell will join us straight out of Vegas, getting ready for Thursday Night Football and a huge Sunday of NFL games. Plus, Joe Buck will be our guest, who, of course, has tonight's call. He'll call a game this weekend, then next weekend, Kansas City and the Chargers.
Should be good.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Man, do we have a ton to get to. Let's start with LeBron James, shall we? He entered the game with the Lakers trailing 91-83 to the San Antonio Spurs last night at home. Entered the game. Comes in, has 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, makes 7 of 8 field goals, 2 of 2 from 3, both deep, one of deep Steph Curry range 3. If there's a flaw, only 3 of 6 from the free throw line. He's kind of Markel Fultz. For a LeBron James, he's a Markel Fultz from the free throw line. And 1 steal. By comparison, during that exact same time period, the rest of his teammates, only 17 points combined, 8 rebounds combined, 3 assists combined, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3-point range. They did make 5 of 6 free throws. In other words, LeBron James outscored his entire team the final 10-12 of the game and carried the Lakers to a win, their 11th win in 14 games. I love all sports. I think they're all really, really fascinating. And the way in which they work is amazing to me because though all team sports have a team aspect to them, football, you truly do need all 11 guys on the field working together. Baseball, not really as much. There's a lot more individual play to baseball, but there's so much more time around each other that there is a certain morale and a certain support, but you're still out there by yourself. Basketball is the one sport that has the FU button for the best player. Look, I'm going to win this game. FU, try and stop me. The NBA makes its rules as such, right? And by the way, we did see that FU game from Paul George, who hit the game winner and had an unbelievable game in Brooklyn. But it's fascinating on a day where LeBron James has to answer questions about whether or not people will want to play with him because he does so much. He waited 3 quarters to do what he did last night. Here's LeBron James after the game when he was asked about KD's comments.
I believe that's probably not the whole quote, so I'm not going to comment on that. I would love to see the whole transcript of what was asked of him, the context it was asked of him, why it was asked, and the whole thing. So I'm not going to comment on it because I'm not knowledge. I don't know the whole thing. That would be stupid on my part. I'm a veteran.
Have you heard? Thanks, everyone.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Look, LeBron James, and I had been waiting for it up until the last couple of weeks. I'd been waiting for that moment where LeBron James is like, hey, fellas, hey, guys, I'm the best player on earth. We finally got it last night. Finally got it last night. We'd had it a couple other times this year. It's, I think, three times now, three 40-point games, but they've all come within the last 2 weeks. And while KD's not wrong, it does take a sacrifice of ego and a sacrifice of shots and a sacrifice of ball dominance if you actually pay attention to how LeBron James is playing. A lot of what you see in the fourth quarter can be taken out of context as well, because over the first three quarters, he let everybody else do their thing. And the fourth quarter, as he said on 2 days ago, they knew who I am. They know who you know, when they need me, I'm here to close games out. You know, it's fascinating to me how we in the media are constantly critical of the Lakers and the roster they put together. Now, some of it is rightful critique, right? It's okay to be critical. It really is. But what we don't realize is nothing really stays the same, especially in your first 5 to 7 years in the NBA. You don't stay as the same player. The perfect example is Brooke Lopez, right? Brooke Lopez didn't shoot threes his first 5 years in the NBA. Now he does. Look around the NBA and look at the numbers of guys in terms of their three-point shooting and how it's improved over time. Everybody's gotten in on this thing. How about, like, I'll just pick out a guy here randomly. Markieff Morris, right? Markieff Morris went from shooting, he's always shot about 35% from three, but now he shoots 4.5 a game, shooting a super high volume of it. You go around the NBA and you look at guys in their first 5 years in the NBA, and they usually progressively get better as shooters. In addition to the Lakers needing LeBron to bail them out, they also needed the three-point shot to bail them out, made 14 of 35. Not a perfect percentage. It's not Warrior-level dominance, but they're going to get better because in your first 5-7 years of the league, you don't stay stagnant. You either improve or you get worse and you get out of the league. When you have one of the best passing great players of all time, and you have a continuing reliance on the three-point shot, generally, like Kyle Kuzma, you're going to get better over time. So this is the plan. The plan is to let other guys develop and to let LeBron close games out. And if you don't like it, LeBron James has a couple words for you. Matter of fact, he had 19 words for you in the fourth quarter. That's the general game plan. That's the gist of it. So guys will ebb, guys will flow with the three-point shooting, and you're going to have plenty of time to be you, to show your game, to prove to him you deserve the ball. And if you can't, then late in the game, he'll come in and close the door. And remarkably, this is kind of what's been missing from LeBron throughout time in his career, or at least in the playoffs, which is sometimes you just got to take the ball and shove it where the sun don't shine on the other team and say, there's nothing you can do about it. That's what Jordan did. That's what Kobe did. It doesn't mean that LeBron doesn't possess other skills that the other two did not. But what we are trying to express that was missing, that you can't express in statistics, is just this sense of, hey, you know what? I'm going to take over this game. There's nothing you can do about it. And last night is one of three times so far in the season he's chosen to do that. You know, you pull up to a red light and there's a car sitting next to you. You know, pick whatever car you want, Lamborghini, Ferrari, you know, and you can rev your engine like, hey, let's go. And the green light strikes and they don't really punch it. And all of a sudden, you kind of cut the guy off, just trying to be kind of a jerk. And they downshift and they fly by you as if you were driving backwards. Every once in a while, you just got to say, F you, right? There's the expression, the saying in the show Billions, what's the point of having F you money if every once in a while you don't say F you? Like, LeBron James got critiqued for oversleeping the night before because he said he slept through his company's Christmas party. And you know what he did? 19 in the fourth quarter. 2 threes, 7 for 8 from the field. What's the point of having FU money if you're not going to say FU? What's the point of driving a Ferrari or a Bentley or a Lambo and somebody cuts you off and not showing like, yeah, you know what? You are going to sacrifice something to play with me, but I'm going to sacrifice a little bit. And then if you need me, I'm here. Pretty incredible stuff we saw last night at Staples. Normally meaningless game, but in LA or to the NBA world, pretty fantastic stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get Alec Ogletree on here, New York Giants linebacker. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Alec, thanks so much for taking time. You went through so much with the Rams. Drafted in St. Louis. You never said a word when the offenses weren't good. You didn't say a word when you moved to L.A. You got rewarded with the new contract, and you played great through it. What's it like to see your former team have such success while you're kind of put in here to change the culture with the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough business. I mean, you know, things don't always work out the way you think they should, but in all, you know, I'm happy for where I'm at. You know, I'm definitely happy for the guys that, you know, I played with for so long in L.A. to see them, you know, finally get on, you know, somewhat of a winning streak or, you know, have a chance to, you know, play for the big trophy. And, you know, like I said, I'm happy for those guys. But, you know, I definitely wish we were in that situation here at the Giants.
How much has your position changed during your time in the NFL?
Has my position changed?
Yeah, not you changing position, but in terms of what you do. Like, you're a top-level linebacker, but the position of linebacker, I feel like, is changing, right? Like, it's different. It's evolving right before our eyes, or at least as fans. How much do you think it's changed since 13?
I mean, it's definitely changed, you know, with, you know, a lot of the rules and stuff change as well. So it kind of, you know, all that plays a part into, you know, how you play the position. You know, I feel like I played every single linebacker position there is, you know, since I removed the linebacker. So, you know, now I'm, you know, kind of settled in at a certain spot. But, you know, like I said, with how they have the offense just basically running free, you know, you have to be able to cover and, you know, not necessarily, you still have to be physical, but it's more so about being able to run sideline to sideline and cover backs and tight ends and stuff out in the open field. And, you know, so that's kind of the main thing that's really changed, I've always said, is the linebacker position.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, obviously it's accurate from your perspective and you play it. Like, look, you know, you come in the league and you're like 254 and it almost feels like now that position is like you're better off staying at 220 or 230, right? I talked to Josh Rosen, the Cardinals quarterback, and he's like, look, all the body types are kind of getting to be the same, even your weight, whereas before you needed to have, you know, a little bit more girth, a little bit more strength to stop the run game. The body types even of guys in the league are starting to change, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like you said, the linebackers that are like 240 and up, you know, they're starting to fade away. You pretty much see a lot of guys that are former safeties that's, you know, 220, 230, well, maybe 230, you know, being that linebacker. And you know, the way the game, like I said, the way the game is played now, you know, it's not more so, you know, everybody's running down his, pretty much play kind of sideways for the most part. You know, you have your little run-pass options for a lot of teams. And, you know, there are a few teams that just lines up and just say, you know, run the ball downhill at you. So, you know, like I said, for the guys that are, you know, heavier, you know, they're definitely fading away. Or they're moving you towards you're getting even closer to the line of scrimmage to go rush the passes. So,
Alec Ogletree of the Giants joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We mentioned that you were brought in, and the Giants even to this day say, hey, we want him to flip the culture there. I know you've seen the video of OBJ not going after the onside kick. As a guy who was brought in to bring a toughness and a team mentality culture, what's the reaction been like in the locker room to seeing that video?
I mean, like you said, nobody's questioned his heart, whether he fights for us or not. I mean, if play happened, you know, I know everybody want to make the statement of saying he didn't go for the ball, but you know, everybody had a job to do, and a lot of people didn't do their job on that exact same play. And so, you know, like I said, we wish we could have got the ball back, but, you know, we didn't. We just had to go out there and keep playing. And, you know, like I said, he's got to give his all to the team, and you know, we appreciate that. So, like I said, his heart and toughness definitely not in question, you know, as far as that goes.
How hard is it for you to, hey, look, I'm worried about myself, my own future, you know, my own contract was kind of front-loaded, and then people are like, look, you got to go fix things. You got to get guys to buy in. What is that like to kind of be working not just on your own game, but on the rest of the team as well?
I mean, that's something that I've kind of embraced, you know, as the season went on. And, you know, like I said, for me, you know, being in a new city, you know, I just kind of feeling my way along throughout the season and just learning day by day, you know, just kind of trying to embrace the culture that, you know, the rich tradition history that the Giants has. And, you know, it's like I said, it'll eventually come back around. You know, like I said, of course you want things to happen as fast as, you know, like I said, when I was in L.A., we went from worst to first in our division, but, you know, it didn't work out the same here. But that doesn't mean, like, you know, we haven't done some good things this year to help change the culture. I mean, we got a pretty young group, and, you know, we're getting a lot of guys to, you know, get on the field and play. And, you know, it's just about learning to, you know, play together. And like you said, you got to get everybody to buy in. And, you know, we're shaping that up, you know, here. I mean, especially after the bye week. I mean, we went 3-1, you know, in the second part of the first four games. And, you know, we got four more left here to play, so we're going to, you know, hopefully, you know, take care of business this week and, you know, just keep pushing forward.
Yeah, you got a legit shot to maybe even run the table, albeit against some playoff caliber teams with the Colts and the Cowboys the last two games of the year. Alec Ogletree of the Giants joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Saquon Barkley, okay, one of the job of a linebacker is, among other things, to bring down or to cover Saquon Barkley. He has this an amazing ability to be a home run hitter, right? Like body shots, yeah. Body shots, body shots, and then a home run. When you see Saquon Barkley as a linebacker that's seen some of the best in the history of this league, what do you see?
I mean, he definitely has a chance to be one of the great running backs to, you know, play this game, man. Like you said, for him, he's been saying all along, he works hard, you know, all year long, even the first day he came in. I mean, he doesn't approach the game as if, you know, he's a rookie. I mean, all rookies have their rookie mistakes, but, you know, for him, he's a guy that came and he asked a lot of questions, just kind of, you can tell he's real, he has a high football IQ for the game, and a guy that just loves football, loves his teammates, and, you know, he loves competing. And, you know, like I said, the way the game is now is definitely something that, backers have a hard time dealing with. You know, like, you got guys like him that can run all over the field and you can line up anywhere. You can be a receiver or just a plain running back, and you can do both. So he's definitely a guy that, you know, I'm happy to be on the team with.
How much you're dying over what happened with your dogs this Saturday night? I mean,
I'm definitely beat up about it a little bit. Of course, my wife went to Alabama, so she kind of been on me a little bit, and, you know, got a few guys in the locker rooms that are Bama, and, you know, but it's still go dogs. You know, I always support them, and, you know, one day we're going to get it done for sure.
It's hard to watch, though. Like, one of my best friends is he and his wife are both dogs, and, like, I didn't even want to send the text when they're up 14. Then they missed the field. Once you missed the field goal, when they missed the field goal up 14, yeah. I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, I kind of seen that movie before, you know. When I played against them in 2012, so, you know, I wasn't too hyped. And
that was the one. That was the one where you guys on the last drive, right? You lost on the. You had a chance on the last drive. Yeah, fourth down.
Yep.
Man, that's a tough one. What is it like to have that mentality where you're like, man, we can't find a way to beat these guys?
To me, you know, for us, it's just about, you know, continue to every whenever you get the opportunity to play against them or against whoever, you know, you go out there to win. I mean, it it definitely sucks, you know, that, you know, we haven't been able to, you know, get it done against Bama. But, you know, like I said, I still always believe that we can. And, you know, one day we will. It just wasn't this year or the year before that or when I played there. So, you know, we just got to keep pushing for it, you know. It'll eventually happen, you know, in my year. I had something to do with it for sure.
Alec Ogletree. Alec, man, great stuff. Always a stand-up dude. Best of luck against the Skins, and thanks for joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Appreciate it. Alec Ogletree, good dude, man. He's a twin as well. And he's a dog for life. That's just a tough one, right? If you have, there's always that team that there's the rival, then there's the nemesis. Auburn is their rival. Alabama's their nemesis.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm fascinated by this Warriors thing on, you know, some of it is that they do appear bored, right? They like literally appear bored at times at how they don't have to compete. They're one of the things about this team, and, you know, they're kind of like the Pats and kind of not like the Pats. Like the difference between the Warriors and the Pats would never point out that after Cleveland had their Halloween celebration where they had the tombstones to celebrate the comeback from 3-1, you know, Klay Thompson's like, that's where pettiness gets you, right? 1-8 in the finals after that. The Pats just would not pour salt in the wounds of the teams, of the Cavs that they've beaten. They wouldn't talk trash to the fans that they've beaten. Right, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have never, ever once uttered the words, at least with a microphone near them, of 28-3. Fans have, but they haven't. None of the players have. That's not their style. Remember, Wes Welker was benched because he made fun of Rob Ryan's foot fetish. You guys remember that? Little rant was hilarious. But that's not what the Patriots do. But here's where there are similarities between the Warriors and the Pats. Now, there's fewer NFL games. Did I say Rob Ryan? I meant Rex Ryan. I apologize. Rex Ryan was the coach of the... It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard, right? Where he made all these foot references and everybody knew what it was in reference to. But here's where they are similar. Does the Durant pending free agency, does it become curious? Yeah. And the fact that he doesn't seem super comfortable with anything other than continually telling people his own version of what he thinks the truth is, that's a little weird, a little off-putting. And Klay Thompson has had some wild swings where he started off the year and he couldn't make a shot, and then he went a couple weeks where he couldn't miss a shot. And he hasn't had a great year, although nobody points that out when they lose and Steph's not playing. And Draymond's not playing. DeMarcus Cousins not playing. No one points out that, well, Klay Thompson hasn't had nearly the same year that he was expected to have for many parts of this year. Like, nobody says that. They all say Durant, 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 Durant. But if we take a breath and we look at it, you know, so far Draymond's only played in 13 games, Steph's only played in 15, and we still haven't seen DeMarcus Cousins. Like, they're going to figure it out by about March or April, and barring some sort of massive health scare, which apparently they had with meningitis scare last year. Just like you knew the Patriots were going to be around, you know that the Warriors are going to be around.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Rick Bucher joins us from Bleacher Report. Here's how you know, Buke, you've done a great job, right? There's in radio, somebody tells you that they couldn't get out of their car until the interview was over. That's how you've done a great job. And in print journalism, which I will call it print journalism, even though I know you do radio and you've done radio, you do a podcast, and your pieces in Bleacher Report appear online. That's the closest thing we have to real print journalism, right? Is that literally everybody in the sport is talking about it, right? That's how, like, every arena in the NBA last night, all the TV shows, and even LeBron himself afterwards was being asked about it. That's how you know you did a good job. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I would say that LeBron and Kevin Durant being part of the story also has a big part
a little bit.
Has a big part in it, and that LeBron is now with the Lakers, and it involves the Lakers and their prospects of getting another superstar as well. But
okay,
but
so the idea is, why doesn't anyone want to play with LeBron anymore? Right, that's the premise of the article.
The premise of the article for me was to what is the yin and the yang of playing with LeBron? What goes into deciding whether you want to or not? Because there have been some guys that have had the opportunity to go play with LeBron, and for one reason or another, they chose other options, or they indicated that they were choosing other options, and there's still some discovery on that front. But it was, okay, we always thought it was Cleveland, and we thought it was short-term contracts, and this is what really first sparked this for me, was he's in L.A., he's with the Lakers, he's got a long-term deal there. Why aren't, you know, Paul George and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and every possible free agent on the market, why aren't they all clamoring to go play with him? And that's where I started, and that's why I went around the league and talked to as many guys as I could from various spectrums in the league about that subject.
And what did you find? So what was – so LeBron's thing was he didn't want to comment last night.
Yeah.
Here, I'll play for people who didn't hear. LeBron had 19 in the fourth quarter, played great. They come from eight down when he checks in with 10 and change to go to winning the game going away. Here's LeBron after the game when asked about your article.
I didn't know. I believe that's probably not the whole quote, so I'm not going to comment on that. You know, I would love to see the whole transcript of what was asked of him, the context it was asked of him, why it was asked, the whole thing. So I'm not going to comment on it because I'm not. I don't know the whole thing. That would be stupid on my part.
Okay, so what was the whole question that was, and why was it asked of him?
Well, actually, the whole thing with Kevin with KD and the toxic environment was really unsolicited. I was asking him about various players going there, and the one executive who had said to me, you know, that LeBron kind of sucks all the oxygen out of the room, and if you're going to be the next star on the team, you have to be comfortable with that, and KD kind of went off on a tangent about fanboys in the media, that there are fanboys in the media who hang on every word that LeBron says, and they fawn over him, and it kind of insinuated that there's a lot of questions asked that don't really have anything to do with basketball, and that he said toxic. I would think that tiresome is probably a less volatile word, but nonetheless, It was about the media, and it wasn't about just the media. It was about certain members or certain members of the media who approached LeBron in a certain way and in an idolatrous way, and that's what KD was taking issue with. And kind of go back to your first thing about why doesn't anyone want to play with LeBron? I mean, that is as misleading as the question last night about, you know, what do you think about KD saying that the media has created a toxic environment around you? There are plenty of guys who want to play with LeBron. They are role players.
Right. Is there another star? What star player? I guess the search is which star player would want to play with him?
Yes.
Here's a question. Here's an honest question.
Yeah.
Do star players want to play with Kevin Durant in the future?
Didn't ask that question.
No, but it's
maybe
interesting.
Maybe that's my next story.
Right. The KD thing is as interesting as LeBron thing. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Like, the KD thing where he's like, you know what, I'm going to be the real me now. I've been the fake me before. But it seems to me he's still trying to find out who the real him is.
I agree with that. I feel as if what we're getting now with KD, and I certainly... And I've told him this. I appreciate this KD more than the one that was in Oklahoma City, because I knew he had, you know, opinions and feelings, and but he never expressed them publicly. And now he's gone the other way. Now he almost goes out of his way to prove, I don't care what you think. I'm going to say whatever is on my mind, and you guys can go crazy with the reaction. And so I think that he's got to find some middle ground when it comes to that. And but he's not there yet. And I made this point earlier that KD is 28, 29 years old. He's still single. As far as I know, he's not in a committed relationship. He's still in that mode of all I want to do is I want to hoop. That's what I want to do. And bigger picture things, bigger picture concerns, not to say that he's not aware of them, but he really doesn't want the focus there. And so when, it, for example, like I was talking about just the idea of moving your family
right,
to go play with LeBron in L.A. or someplace else. And he was like, oh, you know what? We make so much money. That's not a big deal. And I was thinking, that's somebody who is not married and doesn't have kids. Because if you're either one of those things, where you're living and the city you're going to, and there's all sorts of elements to that that do matter in terms of your decision making. And I think that in the big picture, when it just comes to that question of playing with LeBron, not playing with LeBron, I think out there was at least somewhat a perception that, of course you would. Of course everybody would. No matter, maybe Cleveland was the deterrent, but L.A., Lakers, LeBron. And as I believe it was Tyson Chandler said, depends on, and other guys kind of echoed the same thing, it depends on where you are in your career and your life.
Yep.
And there's much more that goes into it, especially now that LeBron is at this point in his career where if you're 26, 27, 28, you're looking at it and going, okay, well, how much longer is he going to play? We're in the Western Conference. Are we even going to get to the finals? And you start weighing the things you're going to give up versus what you're going to get. And the overwhelming thing that you were always going to get was you're going to play for a title.
Right.
I don't know that that's guaranteed now, and I think that kind of changes the dynamic too.
I would say that was, I think, prevailing wisdom coming in, but now you look and you go like, all right, they won 11 out of 14, and I don't think they're playing for a title this year. But
yeah,
you know the ego of star players. They think, like, look, if he's a playoff team this year and you add me, now we got a chance to get to the finals. Like, I kind of feel like I get the whole plan and it's worked. Like, the whole plan seems to be, like, LeBron plays, you know, ball mover. Hey, I'm going to try and play your deal and do it the first three quarters if I can. And if you need me, then I'll try and take over late if I have it. Some nights he just doesn't have it, which is what happens with age. Happens with most players, even in their prime. Sometimes they don't have it. It just happens more readily now. And then, you know, he's trying to prove that he can be a good teammate, that he can play in a different system than just give me the ball and everybody space out and catch and shoot it if I get it. And I kind of feel like he's starting to get his sea legs and they're starting to figure it out.
There's no doubt that they're starting to figure it out. And as you would expect with LeBron, I mean, he's done this in enough different places that he just, by, first of all, being one of the, it's a weird dynamic, and I know you understand this, Doug, when it comes to, you know, selfishness, unselfishness. He is unselfish in the sense that he shares the ball, he moves the ball. He's selfish in that the ball has to come through him.
Right, and he wants to set up the shots for you. Like, he's okay with you taking shots, but he wants to be the guy who delivers it for you. See what I gave you?
Yes.
I gave you that shot.
Exactly. He's okay with delegating responsibilities, but he doesn't want any doubt that he's the CEO. And so within that, it's a matter of, okay, he's that. And you just said, I see the timeline and I see how he's raising the level of all these guys, and probably the work ethic and everything else, attention to detail, general IQ, a bunch of different things. But if you're looking at this from the outside coming in, you're not signing up for next year. I mean, that's kind of been that was the routine in Cleveland, certainly, is you come in for a year, you see what you can get, maybe you sign for two. I mean, a superstar making the move to join him and go to L.A. is looking at being there for, what, the next 4 years. And they'd have to think, how much longer is LeBron going to be this LeBron? I know everybody from the outside says he's going to be, you know, it's never going to fall off.
No, it's going to fall.
Those who watch him know it's kind of fallen off a little bit already.
Yeah, I think he doesn't move as well defensively. He doesn't move as well offensively, but he's making up for it, he's become a better shot maker, a more skilled shot maker than he's been. There's a lot of Jordan to how he's playing now. Jordan, you know, mastered the fadeaway and the you know, the ability to push off late. And, of course, was still good in a great finisher in transition. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show. Let me quickly transition to the Warriors. I thought, you know, a lot was made of their struggles without Steph. It did seem like no one pointed out, hey, they also don't have Draymond and DeMarcus Cousins. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the last three games before they got Steph back, KD had 40 and looked like the best player on earth. What's the status? What's the status of that team, those relationships?
Well, look, the number one thing is there are two playmakers. There are two supreme playmakers on this team. They're Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Kevin Durant is a great scorer. Klay Thompson is a great scorer. But you take those two guys off that, you take Steph and Draymond off the team, and you have the two quarterbacks that run their offense. Yeah. And because of the way they play, having that orchestrator is vital. They went to playing a slightly different style. KD kind of stepped up how he played. I think the schedule helped them a little bit. But look, it's my contention still is they're not a title contender without Draymond Green. Defensively, they're not the same team. They'll be a tough out, not going to beat themselves. But defensively, they can't get to the same level. And you're going to have – I mean, look, we for the same reason that we look at the Lakers and we say, okay, they're, 15-9, whatever they are, it's the beginning of the season. We still got a long run here. And in some ways, that may favor the Lakers. It doesn't favor the Warriors. The Warriors got to figure out, how do we win games? How do we incorporate everybody? But at the same time, how do we not take any more tread off of our tires than we already have?
Right.
And the most interesting aspect is you get all these guys back, and then you get DeMarcus Cousins, and you throw him right in the middle of the pool. And how are you? It amazes me. People think, is this going to add DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, that doesn't
DeMarcus
work that
Cousins
way.
Is completely different from the rest of this team.
Right, and from how they've always played, small. Right, they're a death lineup, right? Their best lineup has always been without a center. One is DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, like that. And two, are they good enough without DeMarcus Cousins, right? Iguodala and Livingston are not what they used to be.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And so they've had these, you know, there's been the natural deterioration. It simply happens when you play longer than everybody year after year after year. You know, everybody but LeBron takes a hit and they deteriorate physically. And that's what you're seeing with the most vulnerable players with the Warriors. But you saw it at the end of last year. To me, that was the signal. Every single core player, even Clay, Iron Man Clay, suffered an injury at the end of last season that caused them to miss time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect this to go back the other way without a short run, without an early exit. At some point, they need to catch up on that rest and rehabilitation that they haven't had an opportunity to have.
Great stuff. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report. Check out his work. Follow him on Twitter. Also download his podcast. It's awesome. Buke, thanks for joining us, man.
You got it, Doug.